Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
In the 2005 film Wedding Crashers, Bradley Cooper's friend Flip declared that Maryland was known for crab cakes and football. It's also known for owning the team that has the best NFL draft year after year and an up-and-coming Major League Baseball roster. We're going to cover that and a lot more with our good friend Alex Bastow coming up. And we are back, Maddie. We finished up draft season. We fought through it. I mean, there was some harm done emotionally, physically, across.
You know, ultimately, it led me to the place I wanted to be. And so, you know, in life, you just got to enjoy the journey a little more. And that's, you know, credit to me, obviously, for admitting that I need to do a better job there. But that was all because of how much effort I put into it, and it paid off because I just crushed my draft. So, you know, you do it for a reason. So we made it. We did a good
great
job.
Work. We cover the Patriots and the Broncos specifically ad nauseum. So we need to open it up a little bit more to Baltimore. And Alex, I know you're a huge Ravens fan. Tell us a little bit about your takeaways from the draft, even the offseason in general.
Yeah, of course. Thank you both for having me back.
Yeah, bud.
Excited to be
always
here.
Welcome.
So 3 months, I was looking at it, 3 months to the day was the last time I was on. We were talking autopsy, Ravens, Chiefs. I got off the pod. I took my daughter to bed. I went downstairs, looked at my phone, and like an hour after we got off, saw that the Orioles were being sold. Mm-hmm. And I'll flip it back to you guys. You gave me the Maryland crab cake thing. I'll flip it back. I'll give you a little Boston Goodwill Hunting. You know, I fell into a deep sleep, and I haven't thought about the Ravens ever since. It's very peaceful.
Talk it's smart of you. Eight. It's smart of you. And Gibby, you know, there are realistic sports fans, there are logical sports fans, and there are hyper-emotional sports fans. I will say Alex, and I think I do a pretty good job of this as well, are pretty good at, like, just kind of moving on. Only because I know deep down there's nothing I can do to impact the results, but I still want to get invested, but I want to make sure I cut that cord. You know, you pull the rip cord right at the end of it. So, but again, Gibby, it's okay. Sometimes I wish I was as passionate as you are, honestly, but not as much as you, obviously, but like a little.
In April 28th, blown save to the Oakland A's. It takes me a couple of hours to get over that one. It gets, you know, it's
sometimes I get a real funny stream of texts from you where it's like you're basically giving me a quickly chat GPT play by play of the last inning and a half. And I can always tell without even looking at the score where we landed. It's a fun game.
It was bad the other day, but as far as draft, yeah, right? So I tell Matt all the time, and I heard it on the podcast. Thanks for the shout out.
Yeah.
As long as Lamar Jackson is the quarterback in week one, there's a shot. There's a chance. I'll see you in the divisional round, assuming health. I'll see you in the divisional round. I'll see you at 10 or 11 or 12 wins. It's just a matter of, is it going to be a home game? What's around them? Who are they playing? And that's not like a conceited take. I mean, that's at this point, we're 6 years into the Lamar Jackson era. Like that just, I know, is that what feeling. It is.
Yep. I will say, as always, you know, they nailed it. They just basically, you know how you're in fantasy drafts or something, and the person who doesn't really know who to pick, they just take the guy at the top of the board. They figure he's got to be the best left. Ozzie kind of like does that, but he does it intentionally. Like they got value at every single pick they made. Even a guy I didn't really love that much coming out, Tez Walker, just because I think his game is pretty limited. North he Carolina couldn't have landed receiver. In a better spot. You guys don't have a deep threat. Like Bateman's not really that guy. So, you know, just adding little complementary pieces around Lamar. And I mean, I'm interested. We've talked about this a little bit, but like how drastically does Henry change this offense next year?
I don't really know, right? Like it depends. Like, are they going to use him or are they going to run three times in the AFC Championship game? Oh wait, we did an autopsy on that. We're moving. Yeah, no,
it's okay. Any game, really.
You don't always have to move on. It's fine.
Lamar Jackson makes any running back good, right? Like it's kind of amazing. Like the most layman of layman. Like if you look at their 2018 running backs, look at their 2019 running backs.
Yep.
Like I'm kind of blanking on who they
were. They grab guys off the street. Latavius Murray, Dalvin Cook. They just grab.
Right. And they were like, they were okay. The only one that was like, whoa, this is incredible, and it's kind of a shame. It's like a what if in Ravens history is J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah. Yep.
Where it's just like, this is like an extra level and an extra gear. So that's kind of a shame. But I think, like, you think about like building up the spine, right? Like, in baseball terms, like, okay, a catcher, solid shortstop, solid second baseman, solid center fielder, and we'll sort of build around that, right? Everything else is sort of like a piece. Yeah. I think about that like with like a football team, right? Like, quarterback, check, right? Center, line, for the most part, check.
You can probably talk a little bit
about that. Yeah, Roquan, Kyle Hamilton, right? Like, Justin Matabike, right? Everything else is sort of like, and I hate to sound flippant about it, but like, it's a piece, right? Like, coach them up, develop them, and that's kind of why they keep churning people out.
Well, and that's been, I mean, that was kind of the underrated secret to the Patriots' success for 20 years was they owned the middle of the field. And that's what Baltimore has been doing. That's how they're drafting, right? Like, and that's why I always go back and we had the debate about Brock Bowers and what's the value of a tight end. And I get it. And I get why, like, you know, it's not quite as valuable. But you look at the best teams in the league over the last 8 years, they've all got really good tight ends like Mark Andrews. And now you have a second Mark one Andrews. Likely and like, you know, obviously Kelsey, Gronk, like, so I think there's some value there. And like the good teams don't necessarily risk it on the other positions as much, but you got like Nate Wiggins, who's super athletic. Roger Rosengarten's a plug and play tackle for 8 to 10 years.
And that name Rosengarten is Ravens. It's Rosenbagger, and it's going to cause – I mean, that's going to be a nice convergence for you, Alex.
It's giving me amazing rookie of the year vibes. There's no doubt about that.
Go for the right tackle.
Yeah. And then the mom of rookie of the year, her son, this doesn't really apply to anybody here, I guess, by proxy, Rickon, is Pete Crow Armstrong, who just got called up by the Cubs. His mom was the
different
mom
movie, of rookie of the year. Different movie.
Wait, which was that? Was it Major League?
Little Big League. Underrated. Underrated.
Was that the GM?
Rick's out.
Yeah, it's when he becomes the manager.
Like, oh, that's incredible.
His dad is the owner or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like a 90s, you know, mid-90s. It's like the answer to rookie of the year.
Yeah. There was a nice little run on it. I think it ended with Danny Glover and Angels in the Outfield. But
we're going to do movies soon. We're going to do movies soon.
Speaking of Angels, we just found out today that Mike Trout has meniscus surgery. He was just, I mean, it felt like every game, it's like, oh, Trout went deep, another 450.
Stealing more bags than he ever has, and you just knew this was coming. It's too bad, man. We would have gotten way more out of his career if he wasn't bagged by
injuries. That's how I'm feeling. I looked at the stats, and I'm like, is he in the Hall of Fame? He has to be. I've had him, you know, in fantasy baseball forever, and, like, there's no way you can leave Mike Trout. Yeah. But it's just, you know, where does he go from here? Did we just get robbed of it? Like, are we, you know, is he the best, one of the best players we didn't get to see the full extent of what he was capable of in baseball?
For a lot of reasons. That's a good question. That's a good question. So I'd say yes and no, right? Because we saw his peak.
Yep.
He really only started getting hurt at like 28, 29. So like you saw the peak, you saw the 10, 11 WAR seasons every single year.
The team stunk every year he was good, right? He was never there for any of those.
Where I feel robbed. Like,
but I think we're robbed of the longevity stats, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Like, we're robbed of the 600 homers. We're robbed of the 500 steals or whatever. We're robbed of that kind of stuff for sure.
Yeah. He's got a lot of money left on his deal. I don't really know how baseball contracts work or matter if they're guaranteed, but he's got like $35 million through the year 2030.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere as long as he can get on the field.
Yeah, he'll play, you know, 80 games.
He's going to be a Dodger. Why didn't we think about this? This is going to be so obvious. I mean,
he's only, how old is he? 32?
He's only 32.
32, yeah.
I mean,
he's going to end up playing a little bit longer, but I think you may see him become like one of those DH guys.
Yeah, I think so too. So we kind of done a disservice to Major League Baseball, and we haven't done much of a preseason or much coverage as of yet. But I think that's going to pick up as we go through. I know you're itching to talk Orioles. Before we get there, what are your favorite, or what are some of the surprises that you've seen the first 30 games or so, or the first month of the season? Like, I know Ellie is super exciting, in Cincinnati. But you know, there have been some other surprises that we've seen, so far in the season.
Yeah. I mean, Jack Flaherty had 13 strikeouts today.
Yeah.
I
saw that.
No, that anybody saw that coming. The Tigers, one of my best friends from Detroit, he's a huge Tigers fan. And they've been pretty good. They were sort of, I hate the word scrappy. Scrappy is basically like, hey, your team's not very good.
I think baseball owns it, though. Baseball owns it, so it's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, they were pretty good last year. I think sneakily they sort of lost a lot of games because of their bullpen and this and that, which I think can kind of cloud sometimes like how good a team can be. Right. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to lose 100 games, like, who cares if you have a really good bullpen or not, frankly, as long as your core is pretty good. So the Tigers have been pretty good. I'm sort of surprised the Cardinals are still sort of down like they were last year, just with the talent that they have.
Just a bad organization. They don't know what
they're doing. Paul Goldschmidt's not doing as well. Really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yankees are better than I thought they'd be. I'll admit it.
I agree.
And they're going to get Cole back. Sox, so we'll see.
The Red Sox, I think, are better than people thought they'd be, although call me a hater. Injuries. That's fine. I'm not really a believer.
So many injuries, dude. They weren't
good. A lot of injuries.
Yeah.
As I told you, though, like, all I heard all offseason was, like, these guys suck. And then it's like, all our guys are hurt. It's like, well, you all said they suck.
But I told you that we don't hate – so I can only speak for myself and a few other fans. We don't hate the Red Sox. We hate the owners. And you know this feeling because you dealt with it for your whole life up until a few months ago. The owners have, like, made it very clear they don't care to contribute to the success of the team. They're not interested in adding any more resources to the team. They've bought, like, LeBron partnerships and soccer teams and other sports. I think they own the Penguins now. So, like, they're not investing in a team that we know is bringing in more money than probably all other teams, but, like, one or two. It's like, I can't get behind that. So I hate that. But I would love to be a Red Sox fan again, and I know that if they sell, then I would be.
Well, Casas is good. So that's definitely a shame. That's got to hurt. Trevor Story, right? Good player.
Yep.
He's I don't think really anyone's in love with him in Boston, though.
No, right. But that's that because it was that year that it was the first year they stopped spending money and they let all the free agents go. And everybody here is used to it. Like Red Sox fans are used to being in the mix for the best free agents. Like, I remember as a little kid growing up, like, that was the most fun thing is it's like every cool name that you saw, they were like, they were going to try to make a play for it. And they didn't that year, and all they brought in was Story, so everybody hated him by default.
Do you think it was the year? What was the year? It was like Adrian Gonzalez, Hanley, and someone else, I think, all in the, or no, it wasn't Hanley. It was Carl Crawford and Adrian Gonzalez in the same year. And then I felt like,
Bottomed out.
And then other than Chris Sale, it feels like they haven't gone after those top tier free agents in recent years.
I feel like those days, though, like, and I know when you're talking like 2011-ish, 2012, like I feel like those days, by and large, are sort of nostalgic to our age group.
Yeah.
Right. True. Like 20 years ago, it was like the best players are either going to the Red Sox or they're going to the Yankees.
Yeah.
And like no one else really had a seat at the table. Like honestly, the Dodgers didn't even really have a seat at the table at that point. It was very rare.
Yeah.
And then like the Mets sometimes, right? Or you get like the random, like, hey, we'll sign with the Rockies, like Mike Hampton, right? The pitcher signed with the Rockies, which was super random. The Orioles, right? When I was a kid, got like Roberto Alomar, they got BJ Surhoff, they got Albert Palmeiro, Miguel Tejada, right? But as we got into like, you know, the 2003 to 2012, it was just like the Yankees and Red Sox. And it was also a different time in baseball, right? It was like, go back to like Moneyball, where it's like Johnny Damon's a good player, like, but should we sign a 32-year-old to an X amount deal? Like, it obviously turned out pretty well for them, but like, does that deal get done today? And does it get done with the Red Sox? I don't know.
There's another problem.
We're so used to that.
Yeah, we are, and you're right. I think you're saying like the game's changed a little bit, but there's another element that we're discounting here, and it's a farm system. And the Red Sox always had a good one. They drafted 100%. And they were able to – that was – hey, remember when you could sign guys internationally and it was kind of a free-for-all and it was like whoever – so they got all those guys. That was them or the Yankees.
So did the Yankees.
They
bought
them off. They had a good farm system, and that helped. And I think that's what – that's the sustainability. Like the Orioles are going to guaranteed be good for a long time because it's easy to keep a core together in baseball for a long time. There's no salary cap. All you have to do is be willing to continue to pay these guys. And then as they get a little more expensive, backfill for more prospects and start the process again. You guys are so flush with prospects that not only do you have the lineup loaded with homegrown talent, you have extras that you can trade for whatever ace becomes available. Like, you know, when we get to this is going to be an all-star break-ish trade deadline for you, where you're like going to be the guy, you're going to be the name in all those deals. Like, it's going to happen. Like, they gave nothing up for Burns. The cupboard is not bare.
Yeah, I think, you know, like Joey Ortiz, right? Like, pretty good player. I'm sure he'll be solid major leaguer for 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
Right. But like, you trade that for Burns, like they had Westberg, right? They have Gunnar Henderson. Like, they have guys behind them.
Norby.
Mayo.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can kind of tell, right? Like, you can kind of tell who fits in like the long term plans. But I think like Ryan last year, right? When he came on, he was like, they have to see what they have. They have to figure out who they have in house. And then kind of from there, like, you're not trading guys like that in April. Like, no one's making trades for bullpen help in April, right? Like, you got to
know what your team is.
Right. Yeah. Feel it out. See, like, wait for other teams to crash and burn and get desperate and see who's selling, right? Like, that's kind of part of the game. And I think that goes back to like what we're talking about with farm systems. Whereas, like, 20 years ago, like, it was a little bit different. Now, like, everybody's trying to get a farm system. So you have this 7 to 10 year core window. And by the way, like, when we were younger, right, 2003, 37-year-old right-handed hitters who, in hindsight, had an OPS plus of 96, we're going to sign a $20 million deals, right? Like, those days are over. Like, they're just going to get somebody else to come up and be cheaper and all that kind of stuff.
It's Madoff's fault.
That's why the Mets suck.
Yeah,
exactly.
You think Tepper and Stevie Cohen are like went to the same school of being completely tone deaf to how to like how handle people? And what is with those guys? They just back into money. They think they know everything. They're idiots.
Dude, the Tepper thing is wild. So like, just truly wild.
Cringe. Yeah, it's no
awful.
Good. Yeah.
So you've got budding stars in Baltimore, obviously with Rutschman, with Jackson Holliday, with Gunnar Henderson. Who is there anyone specifically that you're like, I don't remember being this excited about a prospect coming up in the last 20 years for the Orioles?
What prospects have they had in the last 20 years? That's scary to think about. Man,
I mean, I'm thinking like Matt Wieters.
You don't know. Like, I'm not going to know.
Matt Wieters, that is good.
Yeah.
Underrated.
He's your Joe Mauer. He was your Joe Mauer.
Yeah. Underrated career. Joe I think Gunnar Henderson is just like a must-see kind of person. He's a must-watch.
Yep.
He's electric. Yeah,
he's just must watch. He can hit, right? And there's like five tool gets thrown around, right? Like light tower power, hits for average, right?
Fast.
He can run like, he runs like a deer. But it's not even that he's fast, right? Like he's obviously fast. That's an understatement.
Right.
His base running is phenomenal. Like I told Matt, like watching him go first to third on just
effortless.
Like,
and he plays a premium position at a gold glove.
And he's awesome.
Yeah,
right, and he's awesome.
He's great.
And
he's, I bought like, that stock early last year. I remember texting you. I was like, this is my dude. I'm in. I'm all in.
Yeah,
he's the best.
He's just really good. Baseball instinct is phenomenal. Like, he's like, he's a player.
Yes.
Yep.
He is a player.
So, I, after listening to the podcast last year we did with you and Ryan, I got obsessed with Bradish. When is he coming back? What's the deal? Like, do we feel like he's ready to go? Is he going to be an ace again like he was the second half of last year?
Good question. Hard for me to say. I can't say that I went to Norfolk to see him pitch in person.
Yeah.
Which is surprising, honestly.
I wouldn't have put it past.
Alex Bendel, like 27 out of all of the baseball. He's like only got a few left and he'll have been to every baseball stadium.
Yeah, the ballpark tour. Doing it with Frank the Tank. Just kidding.
Yeah.
I would, hey, if you're out there, right?
Why not us?
I think he's going to pitch on Thursday against the Yankees.
Okay.
Because he's coming back. They said he's coming back. They haven't released the plans. I think they're just not saying, hey, he's pitching Thursday to sort of hold the mystique a little bit. But he pitched on Saturday.
He's
I think the guy's really good, right? He had a 2.83 ERA last year, and he had from like June to – the end of the season, it was probably like 2.3, and it looked like 2.3, right? Like we're talking like 1 to 2 runs a game every 7 innings kind of thing. You know what you're getting. Lot of spin, right? Just awesome to watch. Fantastic. I mean, that makes a huge difference, right? Like Burns, Grayson, we went to the game last night, my dad and I, like Grayson had nothing. Like I think he threw as many balls as he did strikes and just kind of battled through it without his best stuff. And gave up 0 runs in 5 2/3, right? Like he didn't really give up a lot of hard hits. Like that's a good sign. When you're not on it and you navigate your way through it. Like Mike Mussina, there you go, an Orioles. Like Mike Mussina was like that.
You know what I call it? I call it getting singled out when they just like dink and dunk and they get around the bases and next thing you look, you gave up 4 or 5 runs, but you pitched okay. Like you should have had a better result. It's getting singled out. Another great show.
And he's 0 runs.
Great TV show too.
I'm excited to see him back. I'm excited to see him back.
Any teams that, you know, I know the Astros have underperformed, but any other teams that you guys think like, we haven't seen them yet. They haven't shown up to the season, the 2024 season.
Yes. So,
the White Sox, obviously.
Yeah.
Can I go hater mode for a second?
Yeah, go please. For it.
Go Josh Hader.
Right. So Matt, what team do I constantly tell you are frauds? What AL East team?
The Blue Jays.
The Blue Jays. The Blue Jays haven't arrived. The Blue Jays aren't arriving. The Blue Jays are the frauds we didn't know that we needed.
Hey, would you believe me if I told you that I found out the other day that since I believe the middle of last year, even maybe a little bit sooner, Vlad Guerrero is like he's like under replacement level as a hitter.
No, he's, I'm aware.
That's he's crazy. Everybody just kind of thinks he's elite, and we hear about the bloodlines. He has been below replacement level for about a year and a half now.
Does he see the same personal trainer as Audric Estime?
Yeah, I think so. Actually, that could be one of his problems. I mean, the Astros aren't going to stay 9-19. That's an obvious answer here. Like,
no, that's a big hole though, and their pitching's in trouble because a lot of.
But they'll go. They're the Red Sox now. They'll go. They'll go pay for somebody. They'll burn prospects.
Are they a Trevor Bauer team?
I don't know that anybody wants to touch
that. We can stay out of that.
He's pitching pretty well. He's pitching pretty well, but no one's gonna. There's no point.
No one's gonna touch him.
No.
Are there teams that are overperforming right now that you feel like they're going to, you know, after 30 games, like you'll see that midseason swoon where they just won't live up to where they've been playing at?
You can say it, Matt. Go ahead.
So many options here. Oh, are they even in the mix? Oh yeah. They're cooked. Oh wow. They're 16-13. I don't even consider them. They're so fraudulent and I think they know it. Like the Guardians never come to play in the postseason. Yeah. I feel like they always disappoint. Like that team is just not built, especially without Bieber. Like they're not built to do it. I think in the National League, there's a bunch of these teams. Like the Cubs, who knows? But like the Brewers tend to fall off, even though they've done a pretty good job. There's some teams out there that, like, you know, the Padres, the Diamondbacks, teams that should be better that don't scare anybody. And the, I mean, did you guys see the White Sox? I didn't realize we had a full blown major league situation going on with Reinsdorf and the White Sox. Like, he's trying
thinking about moving. Like, is there,
dude, they're drawing like 1,000 people a game, less than like almost every minor league team. And he's like actively trying to get the city to let them out of a lease or something so he can get the team moved. Like, he wants out of there.
I think he wants to build a new stadium a little bit more down.
And he wants Rick to pay for it.
I mean, right.
So you brought up a good point. You brought a good point, right? Like the Diamondbacks are a good example of a team that like I came on here in October, right? And like I said, after they lost 3 games in a row, huge sample size. I know 3 games, 162 games. Like it matters. It means something. Yep. You're good over 162 games. Like that translates typically to the next season, to the season after, if you're doing the right things. I mean, the Diamondbacks won 83 games and had a 10 game sample where they were hot and did really well. And other teams kind of tanked. And like, you can fool, like, sorry, but like you can fool yourself. Like, I'm not surprised by what the Diamondbacks are doing. And like you sign guys who are a little bit older, they get hurt, right? Pitching is feeble. Pitchers get hurt. Shocking. My shoulder hurts all the time from playing.
I hurt my shoulder in the garden the other day. It's just despair. It's despair.
It's terrible. So that would be a team where it's like,
okay,
I'm not like surprised. I'm sort of surprised that they didn't build off of it. But again, like they won 80 whatever games last year. Like they kind of snuck in. 10 years ago, they wouldn't even have made the playoffs. So it's like,
I've got a soft spot for the Tigers because one of my good buddies from home who I played baseball with is their hitting coach. So I'm interested in Detroit having something nice. It kind of feels like they're due. And I'm loving what the Pirates have been doing, man. That team is going to be good. They've got three high-end. Skeens is coming up. They got a guy in Jones who's proven to be just as good. Like they got some arms. They got some arms and some bats. Like they're building the lineup a little bit. Like they got a few prospects. They obviously got some guys that can play, but like they're on the cusp too. So it's nice to see some teams that haven't been in a while being a factor.
Who are the most exciting prospects that could come up this year and like glue us to ESPN highlights or the cutaways in the seventh inning? This guy's up, or this guy's spinning like a two hitter through seven with 10 strikeouts. Who are some of those guys? We just mentioned Skeens, but anyone else that you think of?
Already up or like due to come up?
Yeah, or that like maybe they just made their debut or they're coming up, you know, after the May 1st, you know.
So I think Alex probably has a good take on this. We've talked about this before via text, but it's different now. Like there's still such a thing as the Super 2 deadline where if you get the guy up past it, but it's like it moves. So it's never
so
like the same. It's not the same date every year. It moves. And like teams are finding out that they can just sign these dudes way early. Like the Red Sox just did it. Tampa did it for a long time. You just give them a bunch of money up front in a long-term deal and you lock them in and they take that as opposed to just like maybe their arm blows out because they're guaranteed contracts. So I think there's a lot of guys who have already gotten called up.
Yeah, like Holiday, I know he went back down for a minute, but.
Yeah, tons. Like, you know, there's a couple that broke camp with the team. So, like, he hasn't done much yet, but, like, Wyatt Langford is a guy who people will start to – will become a household name for a lot of teams because he's just – he does it all. Minnesota's got a kid. He's not coming up this year called Walker Jenkins, named Walker Jenkins. He's pretty good. They got a couple young outfielders, actually. And the Mets actually have a top five arm that's on his way up here any day once they figure out that what they have isn't working. So I don't know. It's fun. They come up often. There's a lot of prospects now. Yeah.
It's fast and fun. So we have obviously Oakland moving to Vegas. Is that what Reinsdorf is? I mean, not the city of Oakland moving to Vegas, the Athletics.
That's okay, though.
is that like, where does Reinsdorf go? What cities, like, are we going to see more of this from some of these teams?
Charlotte.
Charlotte seems
like I've heard Charlotte before. They have a AAA team, but they would basically just like, they can support, apparently. It's a big place, you know?
It's a big market.
Yeah. So there are two expansion teams that are definitely happening.
Yeah.
Nashville's one.
Oh, makes sense. They have a big AAA team too. And then what do they do with those teams? What do they do with the AAA teams at that point? They just move them.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're movies, bro. No.
Nashville's either get a team that moves there, right, or whatever. I don't rule out Montreal as a team that gets either an expansion or a team moves there. The other big one in the circles is Salt Lake City.
Yeah, they're doing a lot. They just got a hockey team.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So. And the reason is I think what's going to happen in the next couple of years, they're going to eliminate like American League, National League. I think they're going to go to sort of like
geographic.
More geographic and adding two expansion teams, I think gets them to about 32 teams. So it's a little bit like NFL style kind of thing.
Yep. That makes a lot of sense.
That's smart. I saw though. Remember, did you send me the map? Was it you that sent me the map where it's like all the divisions are like speculated and it's kind of like just follows like it creates some fun new rivalries. I think the Orioles were in with the Yankees, Mets, Sox, and
there was Nationals and stuff like
Nationals.
That.
Nationals. So that's kind of fun. Like those are all build some more rivalries. I like the idea. I think they should do it.
Yep. I'm in. Signed off. Get Rick on.
Rick will stamp it. Of course.
Early season, I mean, we're only, again, 30 games or so in, but early season predictions on AL pennant winner, NL pennant winner from you, and maybe an MVP vote, or Cy Young.
The MVP will be Mookie Betts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got Red Sox. The AL MVP will be Gunner.
Yep.
Love it. Like Love that guy.
I don't think that's a homer pick, by the way. The stats are the stats.
If they have a year they're gonna have, someone's gonna have to win it from that team. So
Cy Young, good question, right? Like I don't think Corbin Burns having a Cy Young season.
No.
You gotta remember too with pitchers, like they've only had five starts, six turns at this point, right? So it's kinda hard to say. That's a good question. We'll come back to that middle of the summer.
Okay.
We need 15 starts out of these guys to get an idea of what's going on, see who's adjusted to them and all that kind of stuff.
Who's the Phillies starter that's absolutely been lights out? He's 5-0, I think a complete game shutout. I can't think
of Wheeler. Ranger Suarez.
He can't sustain, Kenny.
No. He's been in the league for like 4 or 5 years. He's been a guy that like gets knocked around. He's just having a nice little run. He's having a moment. We call those guys Tobies. They're good enough, right? They get you by, but like they're not anybody you're going to be relying on. Those are Tobies. They're going to blow up now and again, but you know, generally,
he's on my fantasy roster for $2. Yeah. Should I sell high? Okay.
You should. Rick won't. I've been telling Rick to do so, but he's too stubborn. You should absolutely sell high.
Okay. I'll sell high on Toby Suarez.
Do everything. Do whatever you want.
Who are anyone that you should buy low on that's gotten off to a really rocky start that you can think of off the top of your head in the fantasy circles? Nolan Arenado, should I hang tight? I mean, he's been struggling.
Corbin Carroll, although Alex will tell you that's been going on for a while now.
A while.
Something's not right there. But Julio Rodriguez is like bought. He's like negative war. Like these guys, they always figure it out. Like Acuna hasn't done anything. Like these are the best players in baseball. Like everybody overreacts to the first month, but like it's such a long season. It's crazy.
Yes. Long way to go.
Yeah.
What are the stadiums, Alex, you haven't been to yet? Any plans for the summer to get to anything outside of Camden Yards?
Good question. All right. So I have not been to Pittsburgh, which is shocking because I'm only four hours away.
Yeah, that's easy.
Pittsburgh. I haven't been to Cincinnati. I have not been to Denver. I've walked.
We're gonna solve that. We're gonna fix that for you.
Haven't been to Denver. I've seen it. Just wasn't a game that night. Milwaukee. I have not been to Oakland, but I think we're gonna skip that one.
Wait to go to Vegas. Go to Vegas, you're fine.
Yeah, I think we're gonna skip that one. Haven't been to Texas. Have not been to. Although I drove past that one too. Have not been to Houston. Have not been to Tampa, Miami, Detroit. And Tampa's, I think, one other one I'm thinking longer. Of. I've been to 20. I've been to 19 ballparks, including Old Yankee, New Yankee, Shea, City, RFK. I went to a couple games there in high school. I told Matt, it was the shittiest baseball experience you could ever imagine. Rick Eckstein.
They built another one of those things in Philly, too.
Dude, terrible. Here's a good one for you. So we're at the game. I'm in high school. It's I don't know what year it is, 2005, go to a Cardinals Nationals game at RFK. Yep. And we're sitting in a part of the stadium where like home plate's over here and you know, you can't see the left field line because it just overhangs.
Yep. Yep.
And David Eckstein. Why did I say Rick Eckstein?
Oh,
David
yeah. Eckstein, Red Sox, great. Yeah.
Hit a home run where he did one of those like fake bunts and then kind of like little league.
Probably his only home run ever.
Boom. Got over the fence by like a foot and a half. And I didn't even see it because the stadium was, the overhang was there. Like that place was terrible. Great for football. Cool experience. I went to a couple Redskins games there as a kid. But baseball wise,
have you been to the old Rangers, the one they just blew up, and you got to go, you got to start over again, or did you not go to that one either?
No, okay. Didn't go to that one. Drove past it, but didn't go in.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to take care of you in Denver. We're going to get you set up at a Rockies game. We're going to get you a nice experience.
I went to the vet in Philly a number of times mm-hmm. growing up, and that wasn't a special
probably
experience.
Awesome. Abomination. Yeah. Three yeah. Rivers. Horrendous. And what was Riverfront in Cincy? Just dumps. Just absolute yep. dumps. Yep.
What's your favorite stadium outside of Camden Yards? Let's end that on a positive note. Let's talk about the nice things that our architects have been doing.
Yeah. I'll go top three.
Yep.
Number one is San Francisco.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Cool. It's fantastically situated.
Yep.
The views. Just gorgeous. Food is great. The views. See the fog rolling in if you're sitting up top. The bay you can see, like it's fantastic experience. I'd recommend it to any baseball fan. Dodger Stadium.
Yeah. That's a fun spot. It's the magic there. I remember being there and being like, this is different. I don't know why, but it's different.
It Southern California baseball is the best, right? 70 yeah. degrees, sunny, no clouds, no humidity.
Vince Scully is my one fantasy draft or like anybody living and dead is he's my Nance Vince Scully.
Yeah, I know. Did you take the cool. Carpool lane to Dodger Stadium?
Did not take the carpool lane with Yolanda.
Were we talking about this? Did you guys ever see that documentary on Netflix where they're talking about the dude who was like accused of murder, but they got him off of it because he was at that game when they taped it? And his alibi was that he was in the background of one of the scenes, and
underrated part of that show. I don't know how much of that episode you remember, but underrated part of that obviously is the part with the dad with the glaucoma. Uh-huh. And like he, you know, and he brings her home and whatever. And also like when he goes to the parking lot after he pisses off Funkhauser because Funkhauser won't let him sit next to him because that was his dad's spot and his dad had just died. Right. He's like, you won't give me the tip? You want me to give me the golf tip? You want me the tip? the weatherman tip, the golf tip.
Yeah. God, show. They were saying Seinfeld was talking the other day about how there was just like they asked him, could you make Seinfeld now? And he was like, no. He's like, I don't know, there's no way. That show. No.
They couldn't, you definitely couldn't on like cable on not cable, no. but HBO, but like Netflix, yeah. HBO, Network. Like yeah, like that's where those shows are.
Right. Yeah.
This is a good segue into movies.
Yep. We'll have fun to movies. Climb onto that next time. Alex, any parting shots
Well, I feel like I took a little bit of heat last time for comparing Gunner to Chipper Jones and saying that he was better.
Not for me.
I guess it's fair to say that like Chipper had a 20-year career where he was phenomenal, incredible, right? I don't think he had 3,000 hits, but I think part of that was he was injured a little bit.
He was.
But Gunner's a fantastic player. If he's not Chipper Jones, he is 90th percentile of Chipper Jones, and he's also 22 years old, which is insane
to me. What more could you ask for in a name? It's the coolest name out there.
It is the coolest name.
Gunner Henderson. Here's what I would part everybody with, right? So sports is in many ways random, but you have to have a seat at the table, right? Like what we talk about with the Ravens. They have a seat at the table, and kind of what happens in the playoffs is
all you want.
It's random to a point, but also sort of, you know, especially in football where it's a one game sample. It's kind of the same thing with baseball, right? And people would argue like, oh, well, the Astros, you know, 7 years in a row. That's very true, right? Their process led them to that. Basically every other team, it's just like give yourself as many chances as possible to get a crack at this thing. So I'm looking at this now as this is a 7 year run, and I've had good Orioles seasons, right? And maybe 3-4, which is pathetic, but they didn't really feel like, and everyone here would agree with me, right? Like They didn't feel like this, where it was like, hey, this is the beginning of a 7-year run. It was like, hey, I hope we're good next year. Like, no.
We never took the Orioles serious as Red Sox fans when we were in our, we were winning. They were never a threat.
Right. Like, they're going to be good next year. They're going to be good the year after. What they do, how they do it, not really sure. But I look at this as a 7-year run. Just get me one lottery ticket. Just get me one that cashes. That's how I'm looking at it.
I love it. It's the right attitude. And as you say that, we're looking here at the scoreboard, and the O's just went up 4-1 on the Yanks. So not a bad night for you. You're heading into potentially a nice win over the rivals.
I hope so. As we get into the bullpen time.
Mm-hmm. I love it. MP, Alex, AB2, thank you as always. We will check back as we get to the trade deadline, All-Star break, and heading into the postseason too. So thanks for joining us tonight.
Yep. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for having me.